The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
Hi, this is Michael Uslan. You're listening to Batman on Film.
I'm vengeance.
I have given a name to my pain.
Batman to save you.
It's simple. We are kill
the Bat of Gotham.
I'm Batman.
Hey now, welcome to episode number 23 of the Batman on Film Social Hour. This is an audio-only podcast version of this show, this Batman on Film show. This is my show, and I'm Bill Jett Ramey, the founder of Batman on Film, and I'm joined again. Pete, this is getting to be a regular thing, brother.
I have replaced Dick Shoes.
Co-host. So, with me is senior BOF contributor and the co-host of Straight Outta Gotham podcast that you will find wherever you get your podcast. And also if you want, they're on Batman on Film. If you want to go, find it so you know it and then follow it from then on. It's you can find it on BOF proper. This is Peter Vera. How you doing, Pete?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
This is exciting. We got a new exciting topic to talk about.
We do. And I just realized, basically we're halfway through July. So the Suicide Squad is about to drop here.
It is.
Not too long.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. And to see everything that Harley's been up to.
Yeah.
As well as Waller and all the new additions to the cast. We should start a pool. We should have like a BOF death pool for the Suicide.
Who survives or the order which they go out? Yeah.
Yeah, we could do something fun with that.
Okay. That sounds fun. All right. There you go. You got an assignment. So, speaking of the Suicide Squad, they've done press and are doing press for the film, and there was an article that came out, and I found it via Yahoo, and I'm not sure, I didn't see them source anybody, so I'm going to chalk it up as a Yahoo Entertainment article, and it was with Miss Margot Robbie. I'll say this, I seen her in person. I was about 10 feet from her.
Yeah.
And photos and film do not do her justice.
Yeah. She's a good looking girl.
Yeah. And she's not only that, she's extremely talented.
Yeah.
Oh, extremely talented.
I've loved everything she's been in, not just Harley, Wolf of Wall Street, all that crazy stuff.
Yeah. You see Tanya?
No, I don't think I've seen that one.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay, I'll add that one to the list.
That's a good one too. I mean, she's real.
She's really, kind of really risen to the top of the game here. You know,
yeah.
She's big time.
And a producer and whatnot. So good for her. And she is the current DC on film version of Harley Quinn for the third time in the Suicide Squad. She was in Suicide Squad, the David Ayer original. She was in the Birds of Prey, that she produced and kind of.
Harley Quinn has a trilogy before.
Yeah.
Marvel Superman.
Yeah. True. And now she's in The Suicide Squad, which is a kind of sort of reboot, but not really, but kind of a Batman Forever-ish type of deal where it's kind of its own thing. And if they want to carry over, they carry over some stuff. And if they want to ignore stuff, they ignore it. So,
yeah, and, they pretty much get to do whatever they want.
And
I want to see the movie.
and you're a comic book guy, right?
Yeah, big time.
Okay. And you're mostly a DC guy, correct?
Yeah, I definitely lean DC.
Okay. You ventured into Marvel, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. What would you say is the difference between Marvel and DC in terms of their whole approach comic book wise? Just in general, because I've talked with Michael Uslan about this. This is something he learned me, and I did take that online class with him and the late great Stan Lee and learned some of this too. But what would be your general opinion? The difference. I mean, they're superheroes, but there is a difference.
I always looked at the DC approach was always kind of more. Their heroes are more on a pedestal, mythologically, almost godlike. Whereas more, I feel like more.
Correct. I agree with that.
So that to me, that's always the difference. I feel like Marvel heroes are more everyman.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. What I learned and when you, once you, you know, you were taught this and then you go back and you go, yeah, that's kind of true. Is that DC, you know, starting with Superman, then Batman in 1939, and then Wonder Woman in 1941, that they were essentially always their own things in their own little worlds.
Yeah.
And yes, yes, they, you know, I think, what was it, 1951 or 52 is the first time that Batman and Superman actually appeared in a comic book story together. I mean, this is over a decade after both were created, and they were both like immensely popular comic book characters by the time they finally, that I don't think they were still national periodicals. So but when DC said, you know, we should maybe put them together, you know, it'd be a good idea. I think it was Superman 76 back, probably volume one, obviously, of that title. Let's where see.
I'll Google it.
And they were like Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne had to share a cabin, a little small cabin on a ship. That was the story that kind of forced them together. But while you look, see if I'm right. I think Superman 76, 1951.
So this says Batman's first appearance, Superman volume one, number 76, May 1952.
52. Okay. I said 52, then 51.
Published 52. On March 7th, 1952. Okay. All this is on dc.fandom.com.
Yes. And then there wasn't a Justice League until 1960. And that was actually started in a Brave and the Bold comic book.
Okay.
I think that's the one with Starro. Was the Starro the
Starro? Yeah. I do. I think I. Oh, what do I have? I have an early Justice League book. I don't remember which one it is.
And so, and even, you know, even after that, through the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even up to today. I mean, now we started in the 90s. You had more of the, you know, the big events and stuff like that. But still, DC has always been where you could read Batman comic, the title, and you didn't have to really read anything else, you know, for the most part. It really didn't affect anything that was going on. And Michael, Mr. Uslan gave me a great analogy one time that it was like DC was like little fiefdoms, you know, it's little, you know, where, you know, with in each little, in the kingdom, each little fiefdom was doing its own thing, and but they were kind of sort of together and so forth. I wish I had that exact quote. But then Marvel was always created and meant to be very overtly connected comic book wise
from day one. They've all kind of been
connected. And
the Marvel universe,
yes, and starting, you know, they all, it centered around New York City, you know, a real city. where as opposed to Gotham and Metropolis and Central City and the different places that the different DC characters work out. So there is a historical difference in the approach to Marvel and DC, and it, that includes what you said, that you're right, they were always, the DC characters were always, you know, Superman and Wonder Woman especially, always put on a pedestal of being these, you know, godlike characters and so forth. And you got others like, you know, Tony Stark, who he liked to booze it up a little bit, and they always had some kind of faults.
Like, and we're all DC characters are, you know, are kind of everyman, like Barry Allen is an everyman, stuff like that.
But yeah,
it's just kind of more or less like the approach of the company as a whole, really. I felt
and you had some great,
still to this day, DC characters are still, you know, even
and that's fine.
Snyder, Snyder considers them gods, you know, like, he's very overt with his what's it called, interpretations and stuff. So It's played out recently on screen like that too.
So back to Margot Robbie, I think she made a great, she had a great con. Read the article, and she made a really great analogy, and is very self-aware. I was impressed the fact she kind of sort of knows the comic book history.
She does her homework.
Yeah, you know, like of Marvel and DC. Yeah,
she's always, you could usually see Margot holding some sort of Harley Quinn literature. She's had comic books in hand numerous times.
Yeah,
she's definitely done her homework, and I'm sure she's watched Batman the Animated Series, and I'm sure she keeps her eye on the new Harley Quinn animated series. So she doesn't take it for granted. You know, she dives deep. She's you know, I wouldn't call her a method actor.
Yeah,
she really gets into the psyche of Harley Quinn.
Sure. So she was told in this interview that that Harley was no longer with us in Zack Snyder's Justice League. That based on the, you know, the epilogue night, that last nightmare scene, that she was gone. She had died. And she didn't even know that. She laughed and said, really, you know, I'm paraphrasing, you know, she was shocked.
I guess she doesn't have HBO Max.
Yeah, she doesn't have HBO Max. So they asked her about that. She said, I like this. She said, I guess it's kind of like the comics, the film version of the DC universe. I actually think they are a lot like the comics. You pick up one comic and something's happening, and then you pick up the next comic and maybe that character's not alive. Maybe that character's not with that person. Maybe that character looks completely different. Each movie is its own sort of thing, and I think that works in the comic book world, and I think that works in the DC film world as well. It's not like Marvel, where everything is more obviously linked in a more linear way. What are your thoughts?
I think it's spot on. I mean, if you just look at what's being printed right now, you've got Batman, you've got the next Batman, you've got Batman Catwoman, you got a Black Label Catwoman book coming out that's just been announced yesterday. You know, not everything is connected, but there are, you know, don't get me wrong, they'll do crazy things like Death Metal, and they'll combine everything, you know, like Crisis on Infinite Earths. Like, DC's known for, you know, kind of going their own way and then having a big big bang to kind of clean it all up at some point, whether it's a new 52 or whatnot.
Yeah.
But
and she continues, she says, so yeah, I didn't know that Harley would died, but that doesn't necessarily change what other people are able to do in this universe. I don't think here's the thing I really like. What one director decides, I don't think dictates what another director might be able to pick up on and do with the world and the characters, which is fun. I think that's an appealing aspect for directors in the DC world, which Warner Brothers has clearly said they're going to have an emphasis on filmmaker-driven approach going forward. I think that's appealing aspect for directors in the DC world. They can make their own the way James Gunn did. He didn't have to be beholden to the version that David Ayer set up in Suicide Squad. He could pick it up, make it his own, which I'm sure was more appealing for him. So yeah, I'm with her. And we know the deal. I mean, there are going to be some films that are connected technically that are DC movies. I mean, you can't ignore the fact that, you know,
it all depends on whatever the creative team behind that movie.
But we've seen this in Wonder Woman 84. We saw it in Aquaman. We saw it in Birds of Prey. That
we're going to see it in The Flash.
Yeah, and Flash is going to be one that That's another thing. Flash will kind of.
And then Joker was its own thing entirely.
Yeah, I mean that, and then you're going to have those kind of movies. Joker, its own thing completely. The Batman is its own little universe with the Batman and the spinoffs on HBO Max.
They want to know what the plan is, and the plan is, you know, they're going to just make movies, whether they're
That's it. Bingo.
It's not. 100%. It's not going to be. You're not going to. You know, it's not everything's going to be a stepping stone, and not every. You're not going to have to watch one movie necessarily to see the other movie. You know, you're not going to get one movie in a credit scene. It's just they're doing things a little differently, and you know, if you want a whole connected thing, I'm sorry, that's just not what they're giving you. But it's not like they don't know what they're doing, and they're just letting their creatives speak for them. You know, if Michael Bay comes to Warner Brothers and has a great idea for a connected universe movie, I bet you they talk to him about it. If you know, Guillermo del Toro has an idea for a completely isolated movie on, let's say, if he wants to come back to Justice League Dark or something like that, he'll do it. Like, it's just, they'll just take ideas from creatives, you know. If Del Toro wants to do a Dead Man movie, they're not going to stop him. Like, well, how does this connect to BVS? It's not going to.
That's the thing. No. Yeah. So if you're going to see these films that are DC films from Warner Brothers going forward, you got to know that, okay, I'm not going to go see this episode of this mass saga that's leading up to a huge team up movie. And it may look different than other DC movies. We're not going to get these little Easter eggs that are there. Not, you know, sometimes it's, you know, that stuff's cool when you go,
you're not going to get that in Matt Reeves' Batman. Chances are you're going to get it in The Flash.
Yeah.
And it's, to be honest, you get the best of both worlds. That's like, really what it is.
You know, so it really is. And I'm glad that Warner Brothers is doing things different.
I like it because, like, while I love Sam Wilson, like, Steve Rogers will always be my Captain America. So, like, I want to see more Steve Rogers movies, even though I love Falcon Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
But, like, I want to see that. And he was so great in that role. So it's like, well, when's the next Steve Rogers Cap movie? I don't know. It'll probably be a very long time. Same thing for, like, diehard Iron Man fans. I'm sure those guys are really upset that, you know, when is the next Iron Man movie? You know, I know he just had a long, lengthy run, but I'm sure Iron Man fans want Iron Man movies. I think it's cool because they're not just held to shackles to whatever. You know, like, if Snyder wants to do something, he does something. It doesn't connect to Matt Reeves' movie, which who knows where the hell Muccietti's movie connects. They're just making movies. Like, these guys just have ideas. And I think
That's the key is,
I think both are great. So,
yeah, I have no problem either. But you would never see a Joker from Disney Marvel films. You wouldn't have that. You wouldn't have
maybe before Disney bought them, but never now.
No, and now you wouldn't have. Frankly, you wouldn't have the Iron Man as some, you know, non-connected take on Tony Stark and Iron Man with a different actor than Robert Downey Jr. You know what I mean?
You're not going to get that for like 10 years, at least, right?
Yeah,
like,
I mean it's all has to connect. It all has to
in that universe.
And all
the way you do it is if you do a prequel Black Widow style.
And when
do you see her again? She's huge.
Yes. It's connected.
It gets a little weird. Yeah.
I'm talking like if someone came in and pitched, look, I like to do an Iron Man film. Here's my take. It's completely different.
They're going
to
say no.
It's not part of the, you know, it's not part of the MCU. You couldn't do it.
I'm waiting for that moment. Like, I'm interested to see when is the first non-MCU Marvel movie.
Well, that's because they're a producer driven. I mean, and that's fine.
It's great.
That's fine. But you're not going to get a Nolan to come to Disney and go, hey, like I'll use it again. I want to do the Iron Man. And it's completely not connected to anything you're doing with the other Marvel films.
At this point, they're kind of, you know, I don't want to say they're limited, but like they've used up a lot of their like A-listers. And that's part of the reason why they want Spider-Man, you know, because they want that one A-list character back. And, you know, it's interesting. Like, oh man, like even like something like Black Panther, well, you know, R.I.P. Boseman, but like when's the next T'Challa Black? You know, it's going to be a long time.
Yeah.
You're never, you know, because it's part of that. Like, they're changing the story up drastically. So it's interesting that, you know, through all the success they've had, you know, certain characters aren't coming back. I'm trying to think who else is dead. But then, like, they bring back Loki, right? And that's all connected. And he does, like, I haven't seen the show yet, but it's insane. It's bonkers. I know it's time travel. So, like, you're starting, you're getting really comic booky right now, right? Because you're talking about three different versions. You know, you want to play 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. You could do that now with Loki. And I heard there were a bunch of other Loki. So it's interesting that they could do that and they can pull it off. But at the same time, you're kind of like, oh man, I'd love to.
But
imagine
still,
just like, but imagine that being DC and Batman being like going through the arc and then dying. It's like, well, I still want more Batman movies. You know,
that's,
like I'm still a Batman
that's,
fan.
It's, and with Disney, Marvel Films, and the MCU, it's, they all still, they at the bottom line, at their core, they connect.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
It's interesting.
And with DC and their approach, and I do think it's, there's a lot to the fact when, you know that director that made that trilogy back in, you know, between 2005 and 2012 for Warner Brothers, using their number one IP.
That English guy.
Yeah. Kind of, he's like, he's got dual citizenship, you know, and he kind of suggested that approach. You know, you just kind of make DC films and roll with it, you know, that seems to work very well for Warner Brothers, especially them historically being a filmmaker driven studio.
For other people, like other people have tried to do this and failed miserably. Remember Dark Universe? That went one movie and they put handed.
Yeah.
You know, Fox had their ups and downs, but they had their shared X-Men world.
Yeah.
But that wasn't really, you know, once Deadpool came around, like everything else was really self-contained and large ensemble films. So, you know, they've perfected it, and, you know, Warner Brothers tried at some point. Didn't really work out too well. But,
you know what, Peter? You can like apples and oranges at the same time, can't you? Even though they're both pieces of fruit, you know,
pineapple and mango.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. So, anyway,
I'm just happy that they're continuing to make movies. You know, like that's in the long run. Like, I mean, I remember the days when it was like one movie a year.
Yeah.
Now it seems like you get one a month.
Yeah. I am.
And then you throw in the TV shows.
I'm down with. I really would like to see that. I don't have Disney Plus. I'm not a big Disney guy, so there's not other than the, the Marvel stuff wouldn't be all that appealing to me. So I've kind of held off on getting it.
But you know what though? It's like any streaming service where you get it, and then you search through it, and you're like, there's a lot of stuff on here that I actually didn't know that you had the rights to that I watched.
Yeah. Okay.
So and here's the thing: like you like superhero movies. Honestly, for the Marvel stuff alone, I think Disney Plus is worth it.
Okay.
And then you combine it with,
because I do like, I would like to check out some the series they've done on Disney Plus. You know,
no, they're all good. And it's like HBO Max,
WandaVision, and all that stuff.
The fact that HBO Max has like DC stuff is a bonus for me, because like I watch it because like I love the HBO shows.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh wow, for this it's already a steal. So I don't think it's, and you get all the ESPN stuff. You're a sports guy. You like that too.
Yes.
If you get like the Disney bundle or whatever it is, or something like that. There's, I don't know, there's like a Disney Plus or whatever.
I just found it interesting. I thought she kind of nailed the difference, Miss Margot Robbie, and brought in the difference between the comic book companies, and brought it into the film part. And I think I don't think it was just her talking out her ass. I think she knew what the hell she was talking about, because she's
not dumb. She's smart.
No, she nailed it. And you know, like it or not, there is a difference between Marvel and DC, and the approaches that Disney has taken with Marvel and Warner Brothers has taken with DC. So, and especially going forward now. One last thing, they asked her about when we're going to see Harley Quinn again, and she's like, she said, I need a break from Harley. She's kind of, she kind of wears me out. And she's like, I'm not sure when we'll see her again. I'm waiting just like you all to see when Warner Brothers decides to bring her back.
Well, Margot Robbie's a star. She deserves a break.
Yeah.
Let those creative juices flow. Let her recharge her battery. There's no doubt in my mind that she has a story in her head that she would like to tell. You know, I think she loves the character. I'm sure she loves working. So I'm sure she would not mind another producer's credit on a Warner Brothers film.
Yeah.
I'm sure that brings in a pretty penny. So I just like, she just needs to go on vacation, relax a little bit. That's really what I'm thinking. And I think she'll be back. I loved her in her two appearances. I'm a big fan of Birds of Prey. So I don't think this is the last we will see of Miss Harley.
You think we'll see the Batman universe version of Harley that's completely different than?
It's possible. I don't know.
But yeah.
If Matt Reeves doesn't like the character of Harley Quinn, he does not have to use her. It's totally up to him. And
but here's my point. I guess really my point is like with Warner Brothers and their approach with their DC characters, that's possible. That wouldn't be possible with MCU.
Yeah, I don't think I think it's clear that those two worlds are different. I think the Batman is not in the same world as the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
And if that stays the course, I don't know, but we'll find out, and that's the fun part. So we'll see. It, you know, if Reeves does it, he does it. I'd be interested to see what he has up his sleeve. It'd be interesting to see somebody else's take. This way you can compare somebody else. That's fun.
Do you like Birds of Prey?
I really did like Birds of Prey.
I did too. Yeah. I was about to say, I'm the only one that really liked it a lot.
It kind of gives me vibes of Reservoir Dogs a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, it's a good analogy. Yeah. Good comparison. I really liked it.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's a little bit before its time, I think.
Yeah, I do think, you know, like everyone, I think they limited themselves on the title and the rating. But,
yeah,
you know, as long as that's what everyone, you know, agreed to when they decided to make that movie, who am I to say?
Another film you wouldn't get from Disney. And I'm not knocking Disney Marvel, but you wouldn't get a...
I don't think you would ever see Black Widow
yeah.
Inhaling blow.
No. All right. So with that, we're going to get the hell out of here. We're going to making these short and sweet and easy to listen to. If you're going to the office, you're coming home from the office, you're on the treadmill, you're at the lunch, you're whatever you're doing, mowing the grass, whatever.
Maybe before you walk in the theater.
Yeah. Walk in the theater. So Pete, plug whatever you want. I'm always impressed with your plugging ability.
You can follow me on social media. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Zack Snyder's favorite Vero at Pete Illustrated. You can follow podcast number one that I co-host with the champion of Long Island, Eric Holzman, Straight Outta Gotham, _O_G on both Instagram and Twitter. We have a Facebook page and a Facebook group. Follow my Spider-Man podcast that I co-host with the Italian combination of sausage and meatball from Chicago, Nico and his father, Nicholas Caruso, at Italians for Spidey, the Italian Spider-Man podcast coalition. We got a new show coming up this month, actually. We're going to talk to some fun Spider-Man stuff, books, and some little special topic. I got a review of Detective Comics that was late, and it's up today. Thankfully, I got toy reviews on Batman on Film YouTube. I got other comic book reviews. I got interviews with Mr. Uslan and Tara Strong on YouTube as well. Check that out. Batman on Film YouTube, Batman on Film proper.
That's impressive. That makes me need to just kind of gather myself because I can't follow that. But I will say, you're going to get those McFarlane Batman 66 things, toys?
I pre-ordered the...
Did
the
you?
Batcave.
Okay. Is the Batcave come with Batman and Robin or just the Batcave?
Just the Batcave. But it was only $30, so I think it's a steal.
Yeah. Okay. Because I checked and they were like, everything was already, that was available was already...
The car was gone. I couldn't
pre-order it. Yeah. I got a car. I got the... what's that?
I missed out on the Mattel wave, so this is my second chance.
Yeah. All right. So for Batman on Film, you can find whatever I do on Batman on Film proper. You can follow me on Twitter at Batman on Film. That's where you get all my witty banter and witty comments. But if you just want straight news, it's at the Batman on Film on Twitter. Like what we do here at Batman on Film. Help keep us going. Patreon.com/Batman on Film or Patreon.com/Batman on Film. And all of the shows, the ones Pete mentioned and a bunch more on BatmanPodcastNetwork.com. You'll find links to it there. You'll find links of Pete's shows on Batman on Film as well. and the great Ryan Haas, another senior Batman on Film contributor, is the curator of the at BatPod Network on Twitter that kind of facilitates all those shows that are part of our network. And check out Batman on Film's gear. Get some gears, stickers, whatever, t-shirts, Warner Brother ball caps. No Warner Brothers ball caps there.
I bet those are on eBay though.
Yeah, tpublic.com/Batman on Film. And that's all I got. And Pete, before we leave, you got anything?
No.
You're looking forward to that as much as I am to that Sopranos prequel movie.
Yes, very much.
Okay.
I can't wait.
I am too. That's digging that. That's I was really a big Sopranos fan back in the day.
It was good. It's one of the best TV shows ever.
It is.
A lot better than Cheers, do that much.
What's more of a faux pas? Is it retweeting your own tweets or believing that pizza is overrated?
I think
because pizza is overrated. Pizza ain't overrated.
It's delicious.
Pizza is not overrated, I'm sorry. Neither is gumbo or boudin. Okay, that's all I got. For Pete, I'm Bill. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to the BOF Social Hour, Jet's official vlog and podcast on Batman on Film. Follow Jet on Twitter, @BatmanOnFilm. Follow the BOF news feed on Twitter, @TheBatmanOnFilm. For Jet and everyone at BOF, I'm announcer Rachel. Authoritative, definitive, the original, Batman on Film, established in 1998.
And Baba Booey to you all.